Welcome to Devotionary, where we make the Bible accessible and applicable. This is episode 4 in our series on the book of Judges and covers chapters 5 and 6. This episode deals with an unlikely hero named Gideon. That's why I've given this episode the title, The Reluctant Rescuer. We're going to find out that Gideon was handpicked by God, not because he had a lot to offer or had proven himself a well-qualified leader, but because God wanted to reveal his power through Gideon's weakness and doubt. Gideon was a warrior. He was a fearful man who showed no signs of desiring to be a great leader for God. He would have preferred to have remained in the shadows, living his life in relative obscurity and letting the world go on without him. But that wasn't going to be his lot in life. He got a call from God, but he didn't exactly respond to God's call with enthusiasm. He had his doubts. He even demanded that God give him proof, and God graciously did. But the issue Gideon was going to have to come to grips with was his own inadequacy and God's power. God wasn't choosing Gideon because of what he brought to the table, but because God wanted to reveal his power through Gideon's weakness. God chose Gideon, not because he needed him, but because God uses the ordinary to do the extraordinary. He uses the weak so that he can display his power through them. As the Apostle Paul so aptly reminds us, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise, and he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 27 through 29, the New Living Translation. If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Judges 6, verse 13, the New Living Translation. Do you ever doubt God? Do you ever struggle believing He's there or that He cares? Do you feel like you're outnumbered and undermanned at times? Do the odds ever seem stacked against you? If so, then you're going to relate well to Gideon. There are some characters in Scripture I have a hard time relating to, such as Daniel or Joseph. But Gideon is my kind of guy. He's painfully honest and transparent, and the Scriptures don't cover up his flaws. His story begins with some less than spectacular circumstances. Israel finds themselves once again under oppression because of their disobedience and unfaithfulness. The Midianites have been harassing them for 7 years. They were experiencing regular invasions at the hands of the Midianites and the loss of their crops and livestock. They had been reduced to near starvation. Their land had been stripped bare, and so they were once again crying out to God for help. In the midst of all this, God sent a prophet to remind them of all that God had done for them. He had brought them out of Egypt. He demanded faithfulness, but they had failed. "I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not obeyed me." Judges 6, verse 10. The people had been worshiping Baal. Even Joash, the father of Gideon, had been worshiping Baal. And so God comes up with this plan of rescue and redemption, and he chooses an unlikely hero. We find Gideon threshing grain in a wine press. He's hiding from the Midianites, trying to keep what little he has from being stolen. Yet when the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon, he addresses him, "O valiant warrior." The New Living Translation renders this phrase, "mighty hero." What an unexpected greeting. What had Gideon done to deserve this title? Absolutely nothing, at least up to this point. But God is actually revealing who Gideon would become, not who he was. It was a title of expectation. Much in the same way that God called Abraham the father of a multitude of nations before he had even had a single child. He called him that when Abraham was old and his wife was barren. Jesus called Peter a rock before he behaved as one. God calls us saints, even though we're not yet as saintly as we one day will be. God knew what he was going to do in and through Gideon. Then the angel tells Gideon, "The Lord is with you." This is the theme of these two chapters. This story is really about God, not Gideon. We're all bit players in God's grand play. He is the author, director, and star. God is choosing to use Gideon not because of who he is, but because God wants to reveal who he is through Gideon. But Gideon gives an unexpected response to God's call. In fact, he responds a bit flippantly. He accuses God of abandoning them and not doing anything for them. He takes a look at the current circumstances and determines that God has been nowhere to be found. Gideon wants to know why all this has happened. He wants to know where all the miracles are. He's basically accusing God of doing nothing and of abandoning them. But it was really the other way around. He failed to realize that their condition was a result of their abandonment of God, not his of them. God's response was to tell Gideon to go and deliver. He tells Gideon to go in his strength. What a strange statement. What strength was God talking about? Gideon hadn't exactly shown himself to be strong up to this point. Once again, God is not talking about a strength coming from inside of Gideon. He's talking about a strength that would be based on God's presence. This isn't about how strong Gideon is, but about how strong Gideon's God is. Gideon was to go in the strength of God's presence. God was sending him. God was going with him. God would give him victory over the Midianites. But Gideon shows his doubt again. He tells God he's too weak and too insignificant for the job. But God refused to listen to Gideon's excuses. Instead, he tells Gideon to clean house. He commands Gideon to go and clear out all the idols in his own home. His own father had erected idols to the gods of the Midianites. Gideon obeys, but fearfully. He tears down the altar at night because he's afraid of what they might do if they catch him. And his fears are justified because when the people find out what he has done, they threaten to kill him. Gideon continues to struggle with trusting God. Time and time again, God assures him of his presence and his calling on his life. But Gideon doubts. He is reluctant to believe God and step out in faith. So God continues to reassure him with a variety of signs. God is preparing Gideon to accomplish great things, and he's willing to tolerate Gideon's doubt, much the same way he does with us today. We constantly doubt and question God. We look at our circumstances and question whether God is even there. We look at our own strength and qualifications and determine ourselves unfit for duty. But God has other plans. He has resources we aren't aware of. He can even use us to do his will, and he will, if we allow him to. Father, if you can use Gideon, you can use me. And you do on a regular basis. And each time you do, I'm amazed and humbled. Thank you for tolerating my doubts and using me in my weakness. I know I can't boast in my accomplishments because anything I do of value is all a result of your activity in my life. Amen.